Well, good afternoon, Chair, Vice Chair, Committee members, Commission members. My name is Tim Burns. I'm the Assistant Director for the Capital and Asset Management Program for the agency. And thanks once again for the opportunity to brief you on our enacted capital budget. And this is a really good news story today. There's no action required by the Commission. Most of the projects you have already seen during my briefing about a year ago. And in addition to the projects in our capital budget request, you'll also see that we've received funding through the Washington Wildlife Recreation Program as well. Our capital budget for fiscal years 2015 and 2017 are made up of reappropriations and new appropriations. We received $43 million in reappropriations this biennium, and this is about half of what we received last year, and this is good news. This shows the legislature that we're spending down our backlog of work, and this has actually been cut in half since the same time as 2 years ago. Last biennium, our construction expenditures were $58 million, and that was more than double the $26 million from the previous biennium. So the camp folks have been really busy over the last 2 years getting work in place. And then this year, the new appropriations total almost $92 million. We received $37 million for our capital preservation projects, including $10 million for minor works projects, and these are projects that are less than $1 million but more than $25,000. And our preservation projects, once again, are projects that maintain or preserve existing facilities and do not significantly change the use of a facility or infrastructure. I don't intend on going through each individual project, but if you have a question on any of them, please stop me at any time and to ask me. And for the most part, the list that was funded is consistent with our priorities. I think for the top 18 projects were all funded, and then the last four or five on this list where they dipped down below, they kind of went out of the priority order, but all good projects. In addition to minor works, we received $27 million for major projects in the preservation classification, and this is a huge increase from the $5 million we received last biennium. And significant projects to note are $4 million to construct new raceways and a pollution abatement pond at Kalama Falls, $15 million for Sioux Creek Phase 2. When that project is done, we'll essentially have a new hatchery at Sioux Creek. In addition, we received $2 million for floodplain improvements in Wooten Wildlife Area, and there's also a $2.6 million federal match to do in-water restoration work. And then, as you noted, there's some projects noted as pre-design or design, and there's to me, that's a good indication that the legislature will fund the construction in the following biennium, and those four particular projects have a $29 million construction tail to those as well. We received nearly $18 million for programmatic projects. This is, again, twice the amount that we received last biennium. And programmatic projects are changes in our existing facilities or for new programs or new facilities. Those first two projects are legislative ads, the non-lethal elk control, and also the multiple uses of public lands research. We received $5 million for design funding for a new for Clark's Creek Hatchery. And the Clark's Creek Hatchery and the Eel Springs Hatchery are all related. We intend to convert Clark's Creek, which is in Puyallup, to a salmon hatchery. It's currently a trout production. And what we'll do is during this biennium, while we're designing that project, we'll do construction at Eel Springs to move all the trout production from Puyallup over to Eel Springs. And then we'll also do a master plan to further increase production at Eel Springs for trout production. We also received $5 million, an additional $5 million for Deschutes Watershed Center, and this will allow us to start the design and permitting for the Pioneer Park, and that's a $30 million hatchery project in Tumwater, again, a brand-new hatchery. And included in that is an education center with the intent with a partnership with the city of Tumwater to operate and manage that education center. Funds for grants totaled $15 million, And for migratory waterfowl projects, we received $600,000. And this is typically habitat enhancement projects that are from dedicated funds from Washington bird stamps. $2 million is a pass-through grant to the Colville Tribe to allow them to build two boat ramps on Lake Rufus Woods. In addition, we've received $12.5 million in federal and spending authority for our federal, state, and local contracts. We have a number of WWRP projects, again, Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program, over $9 million for critical habitat land acquisition, $650,000 to build two new boat launches at Heller Bar and at Riverside, and additionally, $2.6 million to purchase 220 acres in Maytown, Washington, to protect one of the last remaining outwash prairies in the state. We received $900,000 to restore habitat in South Puget Sound and in the Sinlahiquan Wildlife Area, $3.4 million to purchase critical habitat at three locations, and then $800,000 to purchase undeveloped shoreline along the Kettle River and build a primitive boat launch for non-motorized boats. And then lastly, $2 million to make improvements at four boating access sites around the state. Additionally, there are provisos in the capital budget and other agency budgets to provide money to fish and wildlife initiatives. In the Department of Ecology budget, there was a proviso to provide us $300,000 for water irrigation efficiencies. And then in the DNR budget, it was a proviso for a minimum of $800,000 for forest hazard reductions, which primarily are controlled burns in some of our wildlife areas. Overall, an outstanding capital budget, and we're excited to continue to make significant infrastructure improvements for our citizens and natural resources in the state. This concludes my comments, and I welcome any questions from the commission at this time.
All good news, Jim.
It's great news. We're excited. We're hiring more people.
Comments? Commissioner Grable?
Yes, sir. Could I see slide 5, please? It was just for something I didn't quite catch.
Mr. Rucker?
Just a quick comment. Congratulations on your success at the last ledge session, the whole team. I know you worked really hard, and it was not easy. One just general observation is I'm hearing from Southwest Washington, or I'm seeing in Southwest Washington, that there's an overwhelming number of boats trying to use very limited access points. There's a feeling that we could be improving access and expanding fishing opportunity enormously in eastern Washington as well as downriver in the Columbia River. And so do we have an overall strategy for looking at those opportunities for increasing access, setting aside the fact that it's going to be tough to get money and we can't really ask for much during a supplemental session, but are we doing strategic thinking about, you know, where we might increase access for sport fishing?
Well, I know the wildlife program is always evaluating and assessing their current, they have over 700 access sites currently, and trying to prioritize based on the best need. Coincidentally, on this particular slide, you'll see a line item for boat plank manufacture and ramp replacement. And what that allows us to do is to manufacture in our Lacey construction shop a variety of different size planks to help the wildlife access managers when they need a plank or two just to do some minimal maintenance. We can provide that for them and assist them so we can hit probably the more critical boat ramps that need repairs. We also have identified about five ramps that are being impacted because of the drought, and we're going to do some repairs at those during low water events as well. Similar to what we did with the Wanapum Dam incident last summer, we went out and extended two boat ramps on the Columbia River.
Yeah, my question really had to do with the fact that you have to wait a couple hours to get your put your boat in Owako. It, we could be looking at where we need to put additional ramps in.
Joe?
Commissioner Wecker, we do have a fairly elaborate process that's bottoms up, grounds up, that originates in the regions, and the regions each will conduct their own sort of needs assessment, talking to locals and our own observations around where additional access might create opportunities. We have a prioritization process as we put these things forward. We work with OFM and legislators pre-budget submittal on the larger packages. And maybe it'd be good to have the wildlife program folks, Lands Division, come in and present some of that to you at some point.
Yeah.
But we are trying to be pretty strategic about it. And
good. Thanks.
Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hosted a meeting in my office this week with some departmental staff. I talked to the director about it and some stakeholders, and I didn't realize that we've lost at least two boat ramps in the lower Skagit. Maybe just put that out as a placeholder because it's not only for recreational, but it's also access for the tribes, and maybe we can visit that in the next year or so.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tim, could you talk just a little bit? One of the exciting things about this whole program, too, is the amount of local investment there is, the amount of this money that's spent at a local level by local contractors. Can you talk a little bit about that and the trends that you've created there? I mean to put you on the spot.
Okay. Well, about 85% of the work that we do, we contract out with local. Usually it's a local contractor, but it's always competitively bid, low bid, competitive bidding process. So at times we may get a west side contractor getting a contract on the east side, but that's somewhat rare. We also estimate that for every $1 million worth of contract worth, it creates about 13 and a half jobs. So when we're talking about close to $100 million worth of work, it's a lot of jobs and a lot of support to the economy.
That's a good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's one that if we could finesse that so that Ann has that in the back of her hip pocket as a little fact sheet or something like that, because I hadn't thought about it in that case, but I know with the Fur Island project, that stays up in the Northeast, a lot of that funding up there. So.
Northwest.
Yeah. It's late.
I'm glad you brought that up, Joe. And, that's something that we've had discussions about as we go into the next legislative session to educate legislators about the economic impact of what we provide. And, this is just another element of it. When I look at it, I think of just the economic impact of sport fishing in my region, which is a total surprise to most business owners. And if we can go down the list, for every dollar that's invested in our crab industry, what that brings back to the economy, what we're doing in Grays Harbor, what we're doing in Willapa Bay, and what that's going to mean to the economies in those areas. I seriously believe, and the director and I have talked about this as well, with proper education about the economic impacts of what this department delivers to this state, I can't imagine any legislator trying to slow us down. It's just not good business if it's presented that way. And I'm so glad you introduced that question, Joe, and thank you, Tim, because that's another one I think a lot of legislatures do not consider about the activity of the department.
I was just thinking how we could generate a file of not thank you letters, but letters of appreciation from these contractors. Just thinking out loud.
Well, we normally were available to provide references. I occasionally get a call. I just got one yesterday. Other agencies getting reference checks for our contractors, and we typically will do an evaluation at the end of a contract, kind of taking a look at the overall contract and how it was performed.
Well, I wonder if it would even be out of, or not according to Hoyle, if some of us, that when we know of a contractor that is benefiting, that we could say, you know, it would really be nice if you could send that, because a lot of times they would be on different side of the political aisles, and allies across the spectrum are a whole lot better than just based in one camp. And to have to start soliciting this support, again, just something to noodle over.
Well, I like the idea of just a simple thank you, well done letter at the end of the end of a project, no matter whatever the size is. Because you go into a contractor's office, and a lot of times those letters are posted on their wall, and it costs us nothing, but it means a lot to them.
And even when we get some of these, to send a copy to the local representatives as an FYI courtesy. Laying foundations.
Yeah, when we finish a project, we're always encouraging regional staff to celebrate it with the local stakeholders. As an example, Voights Creek Hatchery, we're about ready to wrap that up. Largest, first new hatchery probably in decades that the agency's done, and we intend on having a ribbon-cutting ceremony sometime in September. We had a groundbreaking ceremony that I thought was a nice event 2.5 years ago, or a year and a half.
Good. Any other questions, comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, good news.
This is large.